Good morning. I welcome each one here today. And to you mothers, I want to say happy Mother's Day. It's not just a happy time, it's a time that we recognize the work and the sacrifice that it takes to be a mother. They say a mother's work is never done, and that is true. At least, a mother's always on call. Abraham Lincoln says that no man is poor who has a godly mother. That was a quote attributed to him. And so this morning, we're rich people. We are rich people. We're richer than we deserve. Most of us here, if not all of us, most of us have a godly mother or somebody that has influenced us in our life in that way. Today is a day that we know as Mother's Day. It's a day, it's a calendar day that's set aside that gives us an opportunity to focus and reflect on the blessing that's called our mother, our motherhood. Have you ever thought or tried to imagine what the world would be like without mothers? It's a scary thought. Because when our children are hurt or they're sore, it's usually mom they go to, because mom has a gentler touch than dad. Mom has a way of making it better, more so than dad does. It depends what it is, but mothers are usually a little softer. They are able to they're just more comfortable maybe than what dads are. It takes both, but today I want to focus on mothers. I don't have a fancy title for the message, but I'd like to just title it A Tribute to Motherhood, or to a Tribute to Mothers, we'll just say it that way. We would all say that mothers are special. A world would be scary, a scary place with no mothers. We experience it in a really small way when mom has gone for a while. When mom is gone for a week or two, if it gets really bad, the fridge gets empty, and the house is cold and dark, and it's just not nice. It's not a nice place if mom is gone. But what is it that makes a mother special? What is it that makes a mother special? One, I'd say, is her love. A mother that has a bond or an emotional bond with her children that dad does not have. Her devotion to her family is another thing that makes mothers special. That God-given bond between mother and child is very precious. I believe it starts before the child is even born, especially it starts before the child is born, and there's an emotional connection that mom has with the child that dad doesn't have. Dad needs to develop it, what comes more naturally to mother. A long time ago, a mother gave some wisdom to her son, which is not unusual. Mothers usually give wisdom to their sons. Mother gave some wisdom to her son in order to help him make wise choices. This son wrote down this wisdom for us to receive and help us make wise choices also. So if you would, turn to Proverbs 31. This son here, I believe, was Solomon, although it calls him Lemuel, but I believe Solomon was called by different names. Agur was one, and Lemuel was one, and different names. So if that's the case, that Solomon was the son, then his mother would be Bathsheba, that would have given this prophecy here, or this. It says that in Proverbs 31:1, that this prophecy was given to King Lemuel by his mother. So let's start in verse 10 here. And Proverbs 31 is a chapter that's often referred to for various things. But I'd like to look at it today in the context of mothers and motherhood here. Proverbs 31:10, we'll read through the end of the chapter. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." Amen. "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." Now, take note, if this is Bathsheba writing it, you know the story of Bathsheba. You know the story of Solomon. You know the story of how Solomon loved women, and they weren't virtuous women either that he loved. But Solomon loved women, and Bathsheba is, or his mother, King Lemuel's mother, is giving this this king a good dose of wisdom. "She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." That is a tremendous list in that passage there. But you know, the first verse there blessed me. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." Brethren, do you know what a blessing it is that to have a wife you can trust? that a lot of us have jobs away from home, and we don't have to worry that our wife is out. Running around with other people. We don't have to worry about our wife taking the credit card and maxing it out and digging a hole that takes years and years just because she's angry. You don't have to worry about coming home from work and finding a note on the table, or no note, but finding a note and all her things gone. The virtuous wife and mother is valuable beyond measure. There's no way to put a price on that. There's no way to put a price on a character, on her character. It's just a gift. It's a tremendous gift. The virtuous woman, or I say the virtuous woman, the virtuous mother, I should say, virtuous wife. She's trustworthy. There's no way to put a price on that. It's worth more. There's no way that there's enough money to compensate for that. It truly is a gift. The virtuous mother is industrious. She's intelligent, insightful, has the foresight, She thinks ahead. She plans ahead to provide for her family's comfort and survival. You know, I'm not a skinny person, and that's because my wife thinks ahead and keeps the fridge full. And it's comfortable, but it's until you have to sit in the middle of a plane for 2 hours between two other people that are not small. And that's not comfortable. But my children's mother she thinks ahead, and I thank you for that. She provides for her family, and every one of you others, of you mothers here, do the same thing. It's a gift. Children, thank your mothers for the blessing of having food to eat at every mealtime. You're able to wear clean clothes every day. Your mother is there for you when you're sick. There's so many things that our mothers do that we take for granted. And, if you don't believe it, try being on call some night when you have a sick child. And every 10 minutes, you have to get up. And you have to go to work the next day. And you go downstairs and you clean the bed because the supper is not in their stomach anymore. So you take the sheets off. It's the middle of the night. You change them out. You wash everything up, or get the child cleaned, and you put them back to bed, and you're so tired. You go back upstairs. You go back to bed. 30 minutes later, it all happens again. And then you all of a sudden realize, you know what? For me, this is one night, but for Mom, she's on call all the time. A virtuous mother has a heart for those in need. It says she reaches out to the poor, and reaches out to the poor, and her hand, I'll just look it up here.
Verse 20 and 21.
Yeah, I need to find the chapter first here. 20 and 21. That she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. So a mother looks at for her to her own family. And she also looks outside of her family. There's those that are not, that have needs, that are needy, that are poor. And she does something about it. She stretches out her hand to the needy. Maybe it's giving them food. Maybe it's, maybe it's just listening. Her husband's influence is greatly enhanced by her character. You know, for every one of us, as we go out and we interact with people, our influence is enhanced by our godly wife. It says in 23, her husband is known in the gates. That means he's a person of influence. When he sitteth among the elders of the land. He wouldn't sit among the elders of the land if he wasn't a reputable person. He wouldn't sit among the elders of the land if he wasn't a person of integrity. And that is helped along by his godly wife. And that is enhanced, yeah, his influence is enhanced by her godly character. Her words have value and substance. Her words, strength. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. In her tongue is the law of kindness. Her words have value. Do you like? There's people that I enjoy being around because their words have value, and they make me feel good about myself. And we all like to be around people that make us feel good about ourselves. And we feel like we can be a better person if we're around people that make us feel good about ourselves. Not flattery, but speaking value into someone's life is a real virtue. She doesn't hurt others with her words. In her tongue is the law of kindness. She cares about others, is able to help them through difficulties. Maybe we have daughters that are going through some really hard times. And a godly mother that speaks value into other people, into her daughter's life, she can help this daughter through, or this son, or a needy person. But in her tongue is the law of kindness. She's able to speak value into their life. She's able to hear what they have to say. She meets the needs of her family physically and emotionally and spiritually as in her role. There she can. Her children and husband appreciate her and recognize the tremendous gift of a godly mother's character. It says her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. A godly woman, a godly mother's character is a tremendous gift. And we so often take it for granted. It shouldn't take one day of the year that's marked on the calendar to recognize this. And yet, it's good for us to stop and think about this and to reflect on what a tremendous gift a godly mother is. Another thing, and this is a little bit different here, but a godly mother influences your children like nobody else does, or a mother does. It doesn't have to be godly, but a mother influences your children like nobody else can. A person can close their eyes and think of ways you have been influenced by your mother. Or just sit sometime and think of all the ways that you have been influenced by your mother. You know, some of our likes and dislikes are a result of her influence. From little up, she's right there, right when you're helpless, when you're a baby. Some of the way your character is shaped is dependent on how your mother has interacted or has trained you to start with. Now, I realize that as you grow, we grow and we can acquire habits and other things that can, it's not as readily apparent, but as our character is being formed, mother is the one that's right there initially. And that she's the one that has the most influence on us at a young age. Some of the disciplines that are learned early in life come from our mothers, mainly because they're the ones that spend the most time with us there. So as a toddler or as a baby is growing, who is the first one that teaches that anger is wrong? Well, dad will, obviously, if he's there, but mother is usually the one that takes care of that, or that is the first discipline on anger, that teaches that anger is wrong, or that pouting is something that we won't tolerate in our house, or lying is wrong. Or who teaches a child to share with their siblings or with other children? Or resolves spats or conflicts between little children as they're playing throughout the day. In young children, the work ethic is also instilled in them. Attitude control. That's a big one. And mother has a big bearing on little children, how their attitudes are controlled. Or temper control. Children are different. Some children have a temper that explodes and goes back to normal fairly quickly. Other people just they put it on simmer, and it builds up steam, and it builds up steam, and it builds up steam. And mother is there. She can see, sometimes, can see all this. But our characters are shaped a lot by our mother at a young age. And these disciplines, I call them disciplines, that's the guidance, is administered by the mother, which helps to shape our character. Those experiences, or those teaching moments that we had, they greatly influence our worldview. As we get older, they can influence our worldview, how we look at life, what lens we look at life through. And that lens that we look at life through, we call that our worldview. And that influences the actions that we take as we make decisions. if we are looking at have a worldview that looks on the right side, we'll probably make our decisions based off of the perspective that we see on the right side. If our worldview is on the left side, we'll make our decisions differently. But a mother's influence has a big bearing on shaping our life shaping our worldview as we mature, or it can. We can always change it. I want to be very clear that just because we are in a situation where we are at, that does not mean that we're stuck there from now on. You can make a conscious effort and change that, absolutely. But I'm just saying that a mother's influence is very important in how those worldviews are shaped to start with. The decisions that we make as adults influence others then. So as we're raised, we're trained. As we mature, as we become adults, our decisions affect other people. And it repeats the process. And it repeats the process again and again and again. And so a mother's influence has eternal value, because a influence from way back has influenced our ancestors. It has influenced us, and we have been influencing other people. Influence has eternal value. And a godly mother, is just a tremendous gift, because you have the opportunity to pass on that influence to future generations. A mother's influence has eternal value for both good and for bad. There's a poem I'd like to read. It's probably very common, but I think it brings out a point. William Ross Wallace wrote this in the mid-1800s, I believe. And it's titled, "The Hand That Rocks the Cradle Rules the World." And that is a poem that brings out the point of influence that a mother's influence can have on events later on, because it shapes the worldview of her children. It says, "Blessings on the hand of women. Angels guard its strength and grace. In the palace, cottage, hovel, oh, no matter where the place. Would that never storms assailed it, rainbows ever gently curled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Infancy is the tender fountain. Power may with beauty flow. Mothers first to guide the streamlets, from them souls unresting grow. Grow on for the good or evil. Sunshine streamed or evil hurled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Woman, how divine your mission here upon our natal sod. Keep, oh, keep the young heart open, always to the breath of God. All true trophies of the ages are from mother love impearled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Blessings on the hand of women, fathers, sons, and daughters cry, and the sacred song is mingled with the worship in the sky. Mingles where no tempest darkens, rainbows evermore are hurled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." The refrain there is, "The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." That influence of a mother is far-reaching. Another influence, this is an indirect one, is prayer. A mother's A mother's prayer is a powerful influence. Although it's indirect, it's still a powerful influence in a child's life. There's tremendous power in prayer. And if a mother uses it faithfully, it can accomplish be used effectively. And yet it's indirect in the sense that it's not a mother working directly with her child, with her son or her daughter or her husband, but it's a mother crying out to God. So use it. Use that avenue, that influence of prayer. In Ephesians 6:1, this is to the children, it says children, or even descendants, even if we're adults, we can still do this. It says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother. Honor thy father and mother, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Verse 2 is what I was after. It says, honor thy father and mother. Today is a day set aside on the calendar to honor our mothers and recognize them. Honoring our mothers all the time is the direct Bible command. And so to all mothers here today, may God richly bless you in the work God has called you to do. You're a tremendous gift to your children. You're a tremendous gift to your husbands. Fearing the Lord and passing on the faith to your children is truly being a virtuous woman. That's fulfilling the spirit of Proverbs 31, is to fear the Lord and pass it on to your children. I'm just going to close with Proverbs 31, verse 30 here. It says, favor is deceitful, or popularity, or others thinking well of you. That's deceitful. That can change. Beauty is vain. That can change, possibly. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen. Let's kneel for prayer.